to another episode of Podcasts on Fifth Ave. Taylor Haas and Julian Pellucci. Opening week, Big T, not a great start for the Penguins in game one. Connor Bedard versus Sidney Crosby. What were your initial impressions of the Penguins? And gosh, we're getting right back into it from last year with those squandered leads.
Yeah, I mean, it's too hard, I think, it's too early to put too much stock into stuff like that. They had seven new guys in the lineup. The last time they had seven new guys in the lineup was 2006. Chris Letang was one of them. Like, it's been that long since you've had this many guys trying to get acclimated. So, you know, I think those growing pains are just going to happen. The squandered lead, I think that's something that, like, fans are like, oh my God, they never fixed any of their problems and, you know, stuff like that. Cause that was a problem last year. They weren't the worst team when it comes to squandering leads, but when you look at their win percentage after when leading after two periods, they were fifth from the bottom, pretty bad. This one was a little different though. Like last year, if they were like going to blow a lead in the third period, it's like they'd actually get rocked in the third period. It's just like an onslaught of shot attempts and stuff like that. And this one, it was like the bad defense. Like when they weren't playing tight, it was the first two periods. And then they actually did tighten up in the third. A broken play where a puck goes off a stick kind of burns them. And but really, it was more just like they sat back offensively. But again, it's one game. And again, we're recording this Friday. So by the time you're listening to this, they're going to have played a game against the Capitals. If they blow a third period lead, that one, then like all bets are off. But yes. It's too early.
Well, right now, 81 games left, and by the time this podcast airs, 80 games left, so we'll see how things go against the Caps. Taylor, what are you kind of expecting? You're in Washington right now, yeah? What are you expecting from the team going into that game?
Yeah, I mean, it's what has this rivalry become? It's so crazy, right? Like, both teams are aging. Sid and Ovi used to be like a little bit of real hatred there. The rivalry was definitely manufactured with them both coming into the league at the same time, the two stars. But if you look at what it's become, it just becomes so much of a more mutual respect, especially between Sid and Ovi. Like, I remember, you know, going to the All-Star game this year and going to Media Day and asking Ovi about, you know, just how that rivalry, their relationship has evolved. And he's talking about, you know, how it has grown into respect. And, like he says, like when they're done playing, they want to sit down and have beers together. And it's like, you couldn't imagine this being the case like 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago when they were young. And there was that actual like real rivalry, but it just feels like a treat to see them go head to head like this at this point in their career. Cause you know, we're not going to have too many of these opportunities left. Yeah.
And just with that debut, we got to see another future great player go up against Sidney Crosby and Connor Bedard. What were your first impressions of watching Bedard live?
Yeah, he didn't look out of place at all, especially on that Blackhawks power play, the attempts he was getting off. I mean, I think he ended up leading the Blackhawks in shots that game. Face-offs needed work. I know, like, you look at, like, the face-off numbers afterwards, and Bedard through two periods is, like, 0-9, and Sid is, like, 11-13 or something like that. But aside from that, yeah, it was just cool to see his first game. Didn't look out of place, and then, of course, he gets his first NHL goal the next night against Boston. So I didn't anticipate seeing a lot more of those this season, but, yeah, didn't see it against the Penguins just yet.
Well, we'll see what the Penguins can do tonight. And we have a lot more to talk about in our next segment. Some social issues that are cropping up in the league. You're listening to Podcasts on Fifth Ave. Julian Pellucci and Taylor Haas will be right back. Podcast on Fifth Ave. Taylor, a couple of social issues cropping up around the league over the last few years, and banning pride tape. So what is going on here?
Yeah, so I mean, going back over the summer, the NHL banned those specialty jerseys that teams only wore in warmups, and that's like pride, military night, hockey fights cancer, indigenous peoples, you saw those more in Canada, Black Hockey History Month. St. Patrick's Day, like all of them. There are no specialty warm-up jerseys. Last week, the NHL took it a step further and banned things that were always individual shows of support. The wording of the memo they sent out to the 32 teams, it's very restrictive. It says something like, you know, they you can't force a player to be in proximity to another player or to another individual who is supporting that cause. So what are the implications of that? No one's quite sure everything it involves yet. I know there are questions like Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Can they hold a little, the signs say like, I fight for my grandma. Can coaches wear the poppies for Remembrance Day in Canada and stuff like that? The one thing that has been confirmed, and that's why everyone's zeroing on it, is the Pride tape, which, again, always individual. There are always players that never, you know, used it. I don't think it isn't even necessarily an indication of their beliefs. A lot of them are just like, they don't want to tape and retape their stick because, you know, you don't want to use like the colors of the game, at least on your blade. But I mean, this all stems from, there were 7 players who refused to wear the Pride jerseys last year. 7 out of like the 700 players who did wear, you know, who did wear them, 1%. So they're catering to that 1% of the league that had an issue with this. And I talked to a bunch of the Penguins after practice the other day, and the sentiment across the board of the ones I talked to, which is like Sid, Raquel, Gensel, Rust, Pedersen, Pio, they're disappointed in the ban, and they're going to try to find ways to recognize these groups on their own. Not totally clear how that's going to happen yet, because a lot of them had just found out about the ban that morning. Yeah, definitely some disappointment. I mean, and especially when, like, for someone like Sid to say, like, it's unfortunate that the league has done this, and he typically doesn't, you know, wade into those kinds of issues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty serious.
So do you feel that maybe the league, as much as this does not represent what the large majority of the league would like to do, do you think that they are maybe trying to protect some of those Russian players that maybe wanted to celebrate Pride Nights, but maybe couldn't, to protect their families back in Russia?
I know that's what people go to, but like, you know, Pride Nights have been a relatively new thing. Malkin has worn the Pride jerseys. Artemi Panarin has worn the Pride jerseys off the top of my head. I know there have been others for sure, but the jerseys, to take that away, that's one thing. That's over the summer if you want to do that. That's a whole different issue. But like this latest
banning memo, it. Banning Pride tape.
Yeah, like the individual shows of support, that's what players are kind of upset about, because again, it's things that were always optional. Like I know the Pride tape, people think that like, oh, you know, if players don't use the Pride tape, they're gonna, you know, people are gonna get all over them. But like, you look at warmups last year for the Penguins Pride Night, there may be 5 players that didn't use the Pride tape. And again, it probably doesn't really say much about their beliefs. It's just, I mean, it just, they didn't put the tape on for warmups. So it wasn't that big of a deal. And I mean, you talk to the players, the two that really made the point, like Gensel and Raquel, was like, it was always optional. So I don't know why they're instituting this ban. And Raquel, he just seemed like he thought the thing was so silly. He's like, it's tape. He's like, it's such a small thing. And he said, and why not? His thing was like, why not use the tape? Because he had always used it. He had used it in games. He had used it in a game before too. Like, I think around the knob. He's like, why not do it? It's such a tiny thing you can do, but it does
show
mean a
people
lot.
Support. And right. it means a lot to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To those groups. And, it's some of the, I don't even want to get into like the comments from like the fans and all, but it's when I hear a lot from the actual gay fans and the people who this actually does impact, and it does mean a lot to them, and it's not hard to see. So, and it's such a small thing, it's tape. So
yes, exactly.
I know a couple. So Scott Laughton with the Flyers said he would expect players to still do it. I know Pride Tape, the company, has said that NHL team has put in an order. Players have put in orders. So I don't know it's not clear what the penalty is if you go out there and use it right now. If it's just a small fine, I feel like we'd probably see some players defy the ban. So we'll see.
We will see. All right, Taylor, we are going to have Derek Army, head coach of the Wheeling Nailers, joining us with our interview for the week. But for right now, we are going to take a break and we'll be right back with more podcasts on Fifth Ave.
And we're back. Julianne had to step out, so it's just me. And we're joined now by Nailers head coach Derek Army. Is this your fifth appearance on one of our shows now? Record-setting appearance?
It might be. If you start sending out shirts for guest appearances, I might need one.
Yeah. I know. I think JD Forrest is right behind you, and I was thinking of having him on soon. So it's good we had you. You come on to keep your lead here.
Yeah, I have to do my part. Being that close, I think I get a little bit of easy leeway there.
Yeah, but how's training camp going in Wheeling?
It's been great so far. I think we have a good group returning guys. It's one that you could tell there's a hunger there. There's a lot of younger players. So I think everyone has that drive that they're going to play in the NHL, and that's fun to coach. And now we've got a few players down from Wilkes-Barre, and they're continuing to push the pace. And I think they're realizing, just how good some of the players that are from the ECHL are. And it's definitely an exciting time.
Yeah. And I mean, I know your roster is not set yet. Like Wilkes-Barre is, still making cuts, but it looks like this is going to be the deepest group that Wheeling's had in a long time. And, Dubas has made it a commitment to depth, and Wilkes-Barre is stacked, and the trickle down effect comes down to you. Just how deep is a group you're expecting?
Yeah. I think we're expecting a very deep group. I think for me, it's one that I've had the luxury of being with the Nailers for a long time now. And I've been of the mindset that AA development model. And I was the fortune of playing with, DeSmith, Rowney, Archibald, Kunockel, Morgan Ellis. I think we had seven NHLers come through at a time. And, the Penguins really utilized that as that AA affiliate. And I think it's very exciting with Kyle to, hear just his expectation in terms of winning within the organization and development, but also the principle of believing in the development at the ECHL level. And, for me, that's my goal, is to develop. For me, a success is if obviously you win a Kelly Cup, but also it's if I see a player play in the NHL that came through Wheeling, that's the ultimate success for me. And I think for us, the guys we've seen so far, there's a lot of young talent. There's a lot of rawness to their game. And for me, it's kind of just helping them get those minutes up, get those touches in, get their feeling confident, and just get them adjusted to the pro game, whether it's they got to put on a little bit more mass to their frame because they're young, or it's the simple fact of we got to clean up a couple areas of their game. That's the beauty of the ECHL. And then by the time they get to the American Hockey League, hopefully those areas are ironed out and they're ready for JD.
Yeah. What's the message you send to maybe younger players who get sent down there? It could be disappointing. I'm thinking of the guys like Glover and Spakovsky, who they really did take steps last year in the AHL. And just because of the numbers and that depth, they do end up in Wheeling now. Just, it feels like it might be a step back, but it's really not. Just what's your message to those guys?
Yeah, I think it's important for us as an organization. It's the same message down that they get from the development staff and from JD and his staff. And it's just that, go down and play. And for me, it's about, learning, on the fly. There's going to be mistakes made, but realizing that you're going to be put back out in that situation and now improving that, so that mistake doesn't happen. It's a game mistake. So there are going to be those times. But for me, it's just ironing out those things. So when they get to the American League, the consistency is there. And so that's something that I think is important, is just getting these guys more consistent, whether it be in practice to game, so that every game is as good as the next. And I think the message is that when that time comes, if you are going to be a Pittsburgh Penguin, that you're ready for everything. You're meeting the challenges of the consistency. You're meeting the challenges and expectations of winning at that level. And so for me, it's important to have that environment down here in the ECHL. So that way, as they continue to climb the ladder, it's the same, it's the same mentality, the same thing they're going to see.
Yeah, one of your returning players is Jordan Frasca. Just what did you see from him in year one, and what are you hoping to see in year two as he takes that next step?
Yeah, his development numerically was off the charts, you know, from one half with us until his next half. Part of it was he had an injury and, you know, getting back into the game shape, which helped him. But so far, his energy is great. He's a guy who he just loves hockey. He loves being at the rink. He wants to play. His energy is infectious. He's one of those guys you just love to coach and makes it fun to come to the rink. And I expect him to continue taking that next step, whether it be getting stronger throughout the year physically, pushing him on the ice to new roles. But I expect that development to continue, and it's going to be easy with just his mindset.
Yeah. One of the newer faces, Dylan Hamilak. I know you were behind the bench at the Prospects Challenge. He was there, one of the pieces they got in the Erik Karlsson trade. I thought he stood out in the Prospects Challenge with he had the two goals in one game. He was physical. Just what are your initial impressions of Hamilak and what you guys are getting in him?
Yeah, he's got a great stick around the net. His tipping, his knocking of pucks in the penalty kill. He's got a great hand eye. And he didn't play, unfortunately, had hip surgery early last season. He only played 7 games. So you could tell his pace, his timing is just a bit off. And that just comes with naturally playing more games. And that's what, you know, I think we'll start to see more of him as a player as he starts to play more games. But overall, the initial thought is he's played really well and he's worked hard. He listens, he's coachable. And that's all you can ask for right now is from these players.
Yeah. Another new face that the Penguins got in a trade last season, Timo Nickel. He was in that, he's been around camps and all that too. So pretty familiar with him. Just what have been your impressions of him?
Yeah, you could tell he's a strong kid. He's a solid defenseman in terms of his size, his strength. He is built to be great in box outs. He's got a good shot. We've seen that through our preseason and training camp and through Wilkes. And now it's, I think just adjusting to maybe the speed, the smaller rink of, you know, North America. The game's a little bit faster and it's more on top of you. So for him, it's just adjusting, whether it be with gaps, pace of play, and just kind of continuing his progress in that avenue, because his strength is there. Now it'll just be the gaps and stick work that, you know, is what we look to take advantage of and kind of continue to improve.
Yeah. And then I want to ask you about a couple guys who aren't on the NHL contracts. David Jankowski, Penguins fans familiar with his brother. Mark Jankowski played up there. I know you had Jankowski a little bit last season. He's back. Just what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, he's a really smart hockey player. He finds good ice. He continues to just find areas to score. You know, he scored in the Wilkes-Barre preseason game. He just puts himself in good spots to be available for the puck. Give and go hockey's kind of built for his style. So I'm kind of excited to see, you know, how he progresses. He's had a good little camp so far. We'll now see how that continues.
Yeah, and then another familiar name, Peter Laviolette III, yes. Son of the coach of Peter Laviolette. Just what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, he's a wonderful human being. He's now, as you can imagine, he was the biggest Caps fan. He now is the biggest Rangers fan, with a little bit of a side route, even though he won't say it, for the Penguins. but he is a great teammate. He's big, he's physical, he gets in on the forecheck, he gets pucks in, he goes in at hard, and he's not shy in terms of the physical aspect. If there was needed to be a fight, he's not shy there. So he's one of those guys you love having around the rink. His energy's high, and that's what you want from, you know, just us in general, is a high energy, enjoy coming to the rink for these guys, and I think that's important.
Yeah, and you have a new face behind the bench too, and Mitch Jaguar, assistant coach. Is what it's been like working with him so far during camp?
It's been great getting to know him. We unfortunately, after we hired him, it was weird because of the visa situation. So when he came in, I had to go out for Buffalo, and then when I came back, he had to go back up. We were waiting to work together, and finally we were able to at Wilkes camp, and it's great. Exactly what I expected from our interviews is he brings a different perspective to the game. He said it today in one of our meetings is, you know, he believes offense, you know, is the key. Typically, you don't hear that from a coach. You know, they build from the back end out, and just some of the outlooks within the penalty killer concepts. And it's just, I love that, you know, having the dialogue, the conversation between the two of us. How can we improve? How can we get better? And, you know, he's coaching the KHL. So he, that just follow that resume is a little bit different than the North American style. So it's been exciting to have him. He has an enthusiasm for the game and he just loves hockey. So, you know, makes all of our jobs easy.
Yeah, the Penguins' first preseason game up here. So that was the first time they ever had a woman behind the bench in Corey Cheverie. Most people don't know this, but there were two, Lauren Riddle. She was one of the athletic trainers behind the bench, and she's the head athletic trainer for the Nailers. Entering her second season, just what's it been like working with her?
It's been great. She's got a real excitement and enthusiasm for one. She's grown up a Penguins fan. So you can tell her enthusiasm within the organization and just love for the opportunity. It was, you know, harder first year. She got thrown to the fire in terms of we didn't have, like, she came right into the job. We didn't have that, you know, iron out course for her to see what, you know, pro hockey's like. And so it was really exciting for her to, you know, go through the season and you see how, you know, continually she improved and she was always learning, and her energy was infectious. And then as this summer came around, it was exciting to see her. And for me, I was excited for her to get the opportunity to go up to Pittsburgh and take part and learn from, you know, the standard that the Penguins set to what Seamus has in Wilkes-Barre, and just, you know, be a part of it. Cause you, just like a player, you don't learn until you're on the job, or you don't learn until you're around leaders. And it was exciting for her to be able to do that. And even more so for her to be on the bench. I mean, is it, you know, it's a dream come true. In general for her, but to be especially have a chance with the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, I know meant a lot to her. So I was very happy for her. And now just kind of all of us here are just really excited for our season to get going and kind of get settled and, you know, do our part and help and push that, you know, that next wave to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I saw on Instagram you guys trained with the Air Force the other day. Was that a picture of you carrying DJ on your back?
Yes, it was. He was not as light as I would have liked.
Yeah. Just what was that like training with the Air Force? What all did you do?
So we've, the last 3 years we've tried to, we want to incorporate it for, you know, our, like our military night, our first responders night. We want to kind of be as much involved. So previous year we trained with the Air Force. We also did we toured the police academy and everything like that. And this year we'll do police academy and fire department. But it's important for us to be around in the community. And the guys that from the Air Force we've made connections with have been great. So for us, they put us through a workout. They told us some inspirational stories that, you know, help them when they're struggling or going through tough times in terms of the training and kind of their mindset. And so for us, it's just one of those things where I can now count on during the season if we're tired after 3-3 or guys are gassed, is, you know, hey, look, it's not just you going through it. You know, we've seen the Air Force and what they go through. You've seen how hard those guys work. And it's just good for our guys to just get out in the community, but at the same time, see how, you know, our military works and how, you know, just kind of stuff they do and in the background.
Yeah. Speaking of DJ, so the Nailers, they're doing a little behind the scenes series this year. I saw the first episode on YouTube drop today, a couple minutes, and there's part of it. You're giving like a speech about how, you know, the mentality is to win every night, and totally serious. You said like if you could have DJ in net, I laughed. I thought it was funny.
It was. I'm sure if those who know Deej would give it a good chuckle. Yeah, it's one that I think for him, I always like to incorporate him in everything we do. And it is the expectation, though. It's, you know, doesn't matter who's in the lineup. We want it. You know, we can't take it light. Our expectation is to win no matter who. And DJ, I don't know if we would give us the best chance to win, but his energy would be great on the bench. That's for sure.
Yeah. Your e-bug is Billy Higgins, is it not?
Billy Higgins has e-bugged last few years for us. Actually, he's, you know, I think he has over 20 years of e-bugging. And
I was looking at elite prospects.
He always gets a penalty. I actually had a chance to get him in too, and the refs didn't help me out. So they let me out. They unfortunately didn't let Bill get his 10 seconds in the net.
Yeah, I mean, people who don't know, the equipment guy, what's he doing to get the penalties?
He just asked the ref. So after the game, he'll go over and be like, hey, listen, do you mind just give me a minor for the sheet? So they'll give him, I don't know what penalty they usually give him, but he always gets something, so he gets a registered game.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
One last thing before we let you go. Typically, we always end by asking you about Brandon Tanev. Nola Chari now, though, another former teammate of yours, he's on the Penguins. Do you have any memories of Nola Chari from your time at Providence College?
I have a lot. I've known Noli a long time. We go back till when we were maybe 12 years old growing up together. So I've known him for a long time. We kind of have the same trajectory in terms of both have golden retrievers, both have a son and a daughter. And for me, we've we've gotten close with him and his family a long time. But Noli is an incredible pool basketball player. And you, when we go over his house, his mom would always have this huge Italian feast for us. We'd have like 8 courses for lunch, which was phenomenal. But the pool basketball always got heated. There would always be a football game, but he's as competitive as any, and just anything outside of hockey, he's equally as competitive. So it was fun growing up with, you know, myself, that's kind of my attitude. So anytime in summer we were at PC workouts, it was always a war in the Achari pool in those days off.
Yeah. Was his nose straight back then?
His nose was straight at that time. His nose was straight at that time.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of crooked hockey noses. I don't think I've seen one as out of whack as that.
No, he's if there's one thing for him is he's a warrior. He was a warrior in college. He plays through a lot of injuries and things, and I think that's why a lot of teammates obviously admire him.
Yeah. Yeah, this was great. Thanks again for coming on. I'm sure we'll have you on again throughout the season. Keep up your little record here. But thanks again for listening to another episode of Podcasts on Fifth Ave. We drop new episodes every Saturday. So wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe. We drop these on YouTube if you want to see the YouTube the video versions. But thanks again for listening.
Thank you very much for having me, Taylor. And good luck with the Cats. And go Penguins. Say hi, buddy. That's my guy.